But let me pray before we dive in to today's sermon. Jesus, I thank you so much for Maywood. And Jesus, I pray for the sermon today. God, I'm going to try to not be long-winded. I'm going to try to not be full of my words. I pray that you would speak to us. And I pray that your power would come to us. That we would experience your scripture today, your word. But we also would experience your power. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today, before we dive into Ephesians, we're still in Ephesians chapter 1. Before we dive in, though, I've got this bigger view today because I need space to move around because I have a story to tell you. So back when I was in high school, right after I got my license, shortly after that, I got a job at Blue Springs Lake Marina, which is still there, obviously, on Blue Springs Lake. So I was what's called a dockhand, and I was that for, I think, like 5 summers in a row. And so I'd run out to the gas dock and fill up boats that were needing gas, and I took care of the docks, you know, and took out a bunch of trash and things like that, and bagged up fish food into little Ziploc bags to sell out. And but one of my primary tasks was to take care of this rental fleet that we had when I was there. And so I'd rent boats out to other people, and when they'd come in, I'd gas them up and then take them over to our docks. And so to give you all that backstory, because I'm going to tell a story about what happened. I think it was my third summer there. So I'd been working at the marina for 2 or 3 years at this point, and I'd driven, you know, we had pontoon boats and fishing boats, these little tiny fishing boats and these fairly good sized pontoon boats. And so I got really good at driving both of those and parking them in these slips, which, if you've never been out to the marina, if you're not super familiar with it, I actually drew you a little terrible picture, but I need to explain kind of the dynamic of these slips so you can understand what they actually look like for this story. So here is a horrible illustration from me, but if this is like the main dock, then you've got these little things that are called fingers that extend out, and so you pull your boat in, just like that green blob is the boat. You pull your boat in, and on 3 sides, then you've got dock, and so you can tie off to these 2 sides, and actually they're big enough to walk on. And we had a whole bunch of slips at the marina, and for the first few years I was there, you know, it was all pontoon boats and fishing boats. And so a pontoon boat is so big, it would fill up this whole slip. And so you'd easily just hop off onto the finger. And then fishing boats were really small, so we put 2 per slip. But we got I think it was my third summer there, we got these John boats, a little bit bigger than a fishing boat, but still just an all metal, kind of little, pretty small boat. And the very first time I drove one of these John boats, it was a weeknight, or a weekday maybe, and it wasn't very busy at the marina, but I was taking one that had been rented, and it was at the gas dock. I started my shift probably in 1 p.m. or something, and went to go get that John boat from the gas dock and pull it into the slip. Maybe it hadn't even been rented, I don't remember those details, but I was pulling it from the gas dock to the slip. And when I pull it in, if you've ever driven a boat before, you know, boats don't have brakes, obviously. So when you're driving a boat, though, and not that the rest of the story would be, I don't know everything I'm doing, but if you know what you're doing a little bit, you know, you go forward, you know, to where you want to get, and then you can hit reverse and come to a stop, right? And so I pull this John boat in, what I think is like this excellent parking. You know, if it had been a pontoon, it would have been perfect. So I pull it in, I'm going fairly quickly, but I hit that reverse just right, and I just, boom, dead in the water, like totally still. Wasn't very windy out. And it's right in the middle of the slip, which normally when you're driving a pontoon or something, that's what you want. You want right in the middle because the pontoons barely fit in these slips. But with this John boat, immediately what I'm used to doing is when I'm on a fishing boat or a pontoon, I reach over and I grab whatever finger is closest to me and I start tying the boat up. But this John boat is small enough that when I reach over on the side, on that side, I can't get to that finger of the dock. And so then I go over to the other side, I can't quite get over to that one. And this John boat has these kind of metal bench seats, so I hop up on top of the metal bench, and I kind of do one of these like shimmy, like kind of shake the boat, and the boat doesn't really move. And so then it's like, this is the idea that runs through. I think I'm 18 at the time. So this is my 18-year-old brain has this thought as I'm standing on the bench. The fingers are on like a plastic encased styrofoam and then some metal and then the wooden dock. So the finger probably sticks up out about 4 feet or so from, well, not 4 feet, probably a couple feet out of the water. I don't know exactly. But the John boat is beneath the finger of the slip. But I look over at it and it's far enough I can't reach it. So it's probably 4 feet or so, maybe, I don't know exactly how far out, but it's 4 feet or so away, which is a pretty good distance. It's a little bit up, but my 18-year-old mind thinks, I can jump that. I can jump over to the dock. And, you know, like most times when we make terrible decisions, I have the thought, and within a second, I decide to do it, right? So I'm standing on the top of this bench of the John boat, and your brain, when stuff starts to go wrong, your brain kind of can do different things, right? And we're going to notice that in this story a little bit. So my brain starts super fast thinking, so all this is going to happen really quick. But let me tell you about, kind of break it down. So as I start to jump, you know, I've got my that leap starting, I feel, and a lot of you, if you've been around boats very much, probably know exactly what's going to happen, I feel the boat start to kick out from under me. Because this is, I used to jump on and off the pontoon boats. They're so big. They're heavy enough, you can jump off of them onto a dock or something. But you jump off of this John boat, it's light enough, it just kicks. It starts kicking out from under me. And I can remember that thought of I've started to jump and it's starting to kick away from me. And I remember doubling down. Like, I don't think I could have stopped anyways, but I remember I had enough time in my little brain to think, oh no, it's kicking out from under me. And I need to fully commit. I need to still push as hard as I can because this is not going to go as well as I thought. Like, I need extra strength because it's kicking out from under me, so I'm not really jumping very far. So I push off as hard as I can, kick the boat out from under me. Right at first, I thought I was going to make it. Then I remember the thought in my head, I'm not going to make it, as I'm kind of cresting my jump. All that happens within like a half second or whatever. Then I talked about your brain does these weird things. I don't remember, I didn't hit my head or anything, but I don't remember the downward fall or how I got to this next position. It's like my reaction brain or my reflexes just took over and were like, okay, you're done thinking, Jake, and we're just gonna react. And so what I next remember, I'm up in the air thinking I'm not gonna make it. The next thing I remember, I'm like this, holding on to the top of the finger of, like holding on this edge right here. And, you know, this was probably early 2000s, middle 2000s, something like that. So I'm wearing cargo shorts that are now soaked about halfway up those giant pockets. And I'm just dangling there on that wooden dock. And I remember I just hung there for a minute, just so frustrated with myself. Like, how did I just get here? How did I just do that? Where I thought I would jump to the finger of the dock. So after just pausing for a minute and thinking about that, looking down at myself in the water, I push myself up, get out. I don't really remember this, but I guess what actually happened, because I have this big, I can get back here. I have this like big cut right here and then like a cut going up my rib cage, like up to like about here. So like I hit on the side and then like slid down and caught myself on the finger of that dock. And I luckily I caught myself, I guess, and didn't like slam my face or something. But so here's what I had to do though. So I did solve one of my problems by jumping off the boat. I did kick the boat to the other side of the slip. So now in my wet, like New Balance shoes or whatever, I'm wearing shoes at the time with socks, I can remember. I walk squish, squish, squish around to the other side of the slip. Start to tie up the boat. So I tie up the boat, and then I have to face that like horrible like walk of shame, like back into the marina where my manager, I can still remember which manager it was, and I can remember his face. Like at first he's worried, like what happened? How did you fall in? And then I explain what happened, and then he's like just kind of like, what? Why would you do that? I remember he didn't talk to me about it very much, but just the expression on his face, like, man, that was a dumb thing to do. Like, why would you do that? And so the rest of the shift, I had these super wet shoes for like the next 10, 15 years of my life. I don't think I do anymore. But until recently, I used to always have a pair of shoes and socks in my trunk, like an old pair of shoes, just because I had to work that whole shift with wet shoes on, which is just crummy. Anyways, super long story. Why did I tell all that story to you guys? Well, it's actually going to tie in really well to what I think is the most important thing for Maywood today from this Ephesians passage. So I want to read this passage to you, and then we'll get back to sopping wet 18-year-old Jake and what does that have to do with anything. Okay, so stick with me for just a little bit here. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. So verses 3 through 14 is this like praise that Paul is giving. Some translators even make it just one sentence, that this whole thing is one idea. He's praising God the Father and Jesus, and today we'll see the Holy Spirit. He's praising God for all three of what they're doing and working together. So starting verse 11, he says, in him, talking about in Jesus we also were chosen. The we there is like early Christians, people who first believed. He says, in him we also were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. So here, Paul's saying early Christians were just like, if you remember back earlier in the chapter, he says that same thing about the people he's writing to. So he's repeating himself a little bit here, saying we're similar. And he says we are chosen, or you could also use the word heirs there. He's referring back to what he's already talked about, that God chose us, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. God chose us and made us heirs. He said, I want to give everything I have to you. I want to make you part of the family. So he's kind of repeating that again. And then verse 12, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. So what Paul is saying here is we early Christians, the first group of people to accept Jesus, we were chosen. God's using us so that we can be for his praise, that we can bring glory to him. I want you to notice then how he compares us, or the Christians believing after that he's writing to, similar. He says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So what he's saying here is, how did you become Christians? You heard the gospel. You hear the good news that God loves us. He sent Jesus for us, that we can say, Jesus, I've made mistakes, forgive me. And that by the power of his blood, Jesus can undo or cover over the things we've done wrong and change us. And so that's the gospel. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. So as soon as you believe, as soon as you believe in Jesus and his gospel, you hand your life over to him, you receive the Holy Spirit. And here he describes the Holy Spirit as he's a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, verse 14, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. So again, we get to the praise of his glory, which kind of refers back to what Paul was saying about earlier in verse 12, to the praise of his glory. So here we get this idea. We're God's possession. God chose us. He made us his through what Jesus did. When we accept that, when we believe in Jesus, we become God's. But our purpose is to bring glory to God, to bring praise to God. And here, the incredible thing about this passage that mentions to us is that God doesn't leave us alone, just like Daniel was talking about in his Facebook Live here a few days ago. God doesn't leave us as orphans. Jesus says that, John 14 or John 16, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Helper. And here he says again, when you believe, Paul mentions there's one big thing that God changes. God changes you by putting this deposit, this guarantee from God. And he says, here it is. It's literally me, my spirit inside of you. God could have given us anything that he wanted to. God chose to give us himself inside of us. Like, that's way more than we would have asked for. Way more than we could have asked for. Way more than we can imagine, right? Than what we really take hold of. So that's what I want to talk to us about today. Is I don't think we can live for Jesus. I don't think we can live in a way that brings glory to God unless we take hold of the one that he's given us. As soon as we believe, we're given the Holy Spirit. But most of us don't live through the Holy Spirit, right? So here's what I want to take you back. I told you that whole big story. I want to take you back to a thought that I had when my cargo shorts were still wet. Okay? Shorts are still wet. Socks and everything are a disaster. I had this horrible realization of that it took me a little while to come to be honest. I realized, why didn't I just turn the boat back on? Like, I had a whole motor right behind me. I could have easily just driven the boat that was stuck in the middle. I could have easily driven it to this side or this side or this side. I could have driven it anywhere and easily gotten out dry. But instead, out of habit, being a dockhand, when you stop a boat, you just pop the engine up and then you get out. And I just tried to do what I always did. Stop the boat, stop it nice and smooth. I literally felt good about myself when I parked it. Perfect parking, pulled the engine up, and then I had that horrible idea to hop over to this finger, you know, right? So when that dawned for me, literally I had a boat motor that was meant to take me across the water, and I didn't turn it on. So now maybe you're connecting the dots. How does that whole story connect to what we're talking about here today? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you said, Jesus, I can't live on my own, I need your help, I want you to be my Savior, I want you to be my Lord, I want to follow and obey you. If you've done that, then you have the most powerful being in you, right? Because the thing I needed to hop that I got into so much trouble for, it was 3 feet, 4 feet maybe, right? It was about a yard. That boat motor could have taken me dry all the way across the lake and back again, right? It was not just strong enough to get me where I needed to go safely, right? It was 1,000 times stronger or 1,000,000 times stronger, right? I mean, it was so much more than I needed for that little thing. But the reason I got myself in so much trouble was the thing that I needed to do. It seemed like, to my 18-year-old brain, I can do this, right? It seemed like it's not very far. I can jump it. I can do it. It'll be easy. It'll be fast. I will do it all by myself. Sounds like a stupid 18-year-old, right? And it sounds a lot like us as we live out our lives, right? How many of us are really dependent on the Holy Spirit for what we do throughout the day? Right? A good check for yourself on this is, how much time do you spend praying? And how much time do you spend trying to solve stuff yourself? I mean, I'm very guilty of this. Like, I need to grow in this. But it shows when I spend 5 seconds praying about something and then 5 hours trying to fix it. It shows where I think the power lies, right? Who's going to solve this problem? 5 seconds of prayer, 5 hours to Jake working. Where am I putting my faith in, right? Or I don't even think to pray until I've tried it 7 times and failed, and then I pray, right? So this passage is telling us, though, that the Holy Spirit is given to us as a deposit. God's guaranteeing what he's going to do for us, right? So here's where my story breaks down. I really actually love this boat story. I feel like it's so crystal clear, like that is the Holy Spirit in our life. So much more power than we need, right? And, sorry, let's stick with the story one more second before we jump off of it. Or before we kind of break it down. In my life, a lot of the things I try to do are like getting to that finger. They're things that theoretically are possible, at least in my mind, for me to do on my own. But if I had that boat motor on, my goal would not be to go 3 feet or 4 feet in the boat. It would seem like, oh, do I want to go see the other side of the lake? Do I want to go to the bridge? Do I want to go to the dam? Do I want to go fish where that crappie bed is? Like, there's all sorts of things that are possible once you're using the boat motor, right? I would have never tried to jump to the no wake zone or something that was 100 yards away. Would have never even thought to go there on my own jumping ability. But if I had the boat motor, it would be within the realm of possibility, right? It'd be easy, be no big deal. Think, Maywood, the folks in Maywood, think about this. If you lived with God in you, think of the things that are possible that aren't even on your radar right now. Like, you're trying to do stuff that's like 3 feet away, and God could get you to stuff that's like 20 miles away, right? And when you try it on your own, it becomes such a mess. Some of us have the solution of, oh man, yeah, I jumped and I tried to jump 4 feet off of my boat and I got all bruised up and I looked like a fool and I was all wet and my feet were soggy and all wrinkly at the end of the day. So I'm just going to jump 1 foot from now on. I'm just going to jump 6 inches from now on. I'm going to set my bar lower and make sure I can achieve what I want to do, right? That's what some of us try. Like, I'm not going to try to do all this big stuff for God. I'm just going to try to do these little things, because when I try to do something on my own, it failed, so now I'm going to just set my standards lower. Whatever you failed at for Jesus, I don't believe there's anything we could ever fail at that we fail at because we don't have access to enough power, right? There's lots of reasons we might fail as Christians. I don't think it's ever going to fail because, like, oh, God couldn't do that, right? It's not an issue of power. So I guess challenge number one, I don't really have challenges laid out in my notes, but challenge number one is just think about yourself pretty critically. Are you doing stuff on a God scale? Are you attempting anything that would be definitely impossible on your own strength? Are you at least trying to go somewhere that you can't jump to on your own two legs? I think that's a good idea. Once God hands you the Holy Spirit, I think it's good to look up and say, like, whoa, I could go to places I never imagined. But I did mention earlier, the analogy breaks down at some point, and here's where I think this breaks down, is any analogy is not perfect. The problem with the boat analogy is a problem that a lot of us have with the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the problem with the engine being right there behind me, the little 25 horsepower engine or whatever it was, I would pop that engine up when I wanted it up, I would put it down when I wanted it down, I would turn it on, it would go wherever the steering wheel told it to go. Literally, when I was in that boat all by myself, I had a bad idea, right, to jump off the boat. But literally, my best thinking was the best thinking in the boat. Like, the motor didn't have any thoughts, right? So here's where it breaks down for us, is some of us treat the Holy Spirit like he's a motor. You know, some of us are like, the first thing I was saying, some of us are like so afraid to try very hard, very much, we just like ignore the Holy Spirit, right? We don't even try to access his power. But then there's this other extreme that people will get to where they want to treat the Holy Spirit like a boat motor and they want to tell it where to go. It, you know, they don't want to tell him, they want to tell it what to do, right? The Holy Spirit is a person, right? The Holy Spirit has a personality. The Holy Spirit is more person than we are even. I mean, Holy Spirit is God. So there's no it about the Holy Spirit, right? And so when the analogy breaks down, because it'd be like if I were in a boat and there was somebody there with me and they could have said, like, well, Jake, dude, if I had told someone I'm going to jump off this boat, unless it was one of my other like 17-year-old dockhand friends, I'm pretty sure most of you would have been like, Jake, that's not a good idea. Don't jump over the boat. One of you might have said, like, hey, hold on to my hand and you can lean a lot further, right? Be dependent on me and you can do it. And that might have actually worked. Or one of you might have the intelligence to say, like, why don't we just turn the boat on and drive to the slip, right? Use the power that we have. And the Holy Spirit may do that to you too. Like, hey, lean on somebody and you can do this. Or use my power and you can do this. But in our lives with the Holy Spirit, we have all this access to all that God is, not just his power, but his love and his forgiveness, his patience, his creativity, his knowledge. I mean, there's like infinite amazingness, and it's all given to us. God is inside of us. But if you go through this week trying to have a steering wheel and saying, God, do this, God, do that, God, do this. Help me go there. Help make my life happy. Because that's a lot. When we do try to take steps towards God's power, a lot of us start praying and start trying to do things. And it's sometimes it can just be, here are the things that make me happy. And some of them are good things, like a sick person getting well or something like that. But we pray for healing, and then we're super upset when it doesn't happen. But here's the reality is that I don't understand everything about the Holy Spirit or everything about how God works or healing. When I've been around what I would say is miraculous prayer and miraculous healing, it has either been firsthand, I feel like the Holy Spirit's telling me to pray boldly for someone to be healed, or someone else in the room who I trust has said, the Holy Spirit's telling me this person's going to be healed. We need to pray that way. And then miracles have happened. I've seen miraculous things happen. But I've seen great, great righteous, what I would say great righteous people be very sick. Great, what I would say very innocent people be very sick. And God not answer my prayers, right? It's clear, like, Jake does not have the steering wheel on the universe. Like, the Holy Spirit doesn't just jump when Jake says jump. You know, like, I can't control everything that's happening. God doesn't allow a lot of this rough stuff that happens in life. He doesn't allow it for no reason, and I don't understand all of it. But I can tell you from my own experience, the Holy Spirit is not like that boat motor, okay? He is even more powerful than it, but he is alive and has a personality. And so our response, here's the whole key to today. The Holy Spirit is with you. If you have believed in Jesus, he is with us. But our response is to listen to the Holy Spirit and then to live with power, right? So the Holy Spirit is with us, but our response is to live with the Holy Spirit, to take hold of that deposit that God's given us. Live in power, but it doesn't happen until after we've listened, I would say. Like, that's the right ratio to have. You got to listen. Jesus, what are you saying to me through the Holy Spirit? Then you're ready to walk in that power. So if you're here today and you're like, man, I want to walk in Jesus' power through the Holy Spirit, what do I do? You listen, and then you do. You try to open your eyes, like the scope is too small. The way you're looking at things is too small up till today. But look at it now with new eyes and say, God, here's my life. What do you want me to do? I'm your vessel. Bob was quoting Galatians 2:20 to us earlier in his blog this week. You know, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Jesus lives through me. So that's the idea here, is that Jesus could use your life. He could start walking through your skin. So like my neighbors could start experiencing Jesus through me. Your coworkers could start experiencing Jesus through you. We need Jesus in independence. By the Holy Spirit, he can be here through us. So all of us are like little 18-year-old Jake. We're sitting in a boat right now. We have to decide, like, are we going to use that engine that we have? But like I said, it's not just this engine that's waiting for our beck and call. It's this idea of you'll get so far if you will listen and obey. So real quick on the listening and obey, two quick thoughts for you on how to apply that. One is get yourself a little pocket New Testament. These things are pretty common. You can get them. I don't know if Mardell's is even open right now. If you want one of these, we will try to get you one somehow. Like reach out to the church office or 816-254-3344. Some sort of way. Try to get a pocket New Testament. Here's what I would advise you to do. Get outside your house, read that pocket New Testament, a chapter, two, three chapters maybe, and just start right at the beginning. Start in Matthew, that's great. And then go for a walk. So the Bible, I would say, is the gold standard, okay? It's the gold standard for connecting with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus describes eternal life in John 17, he describes it as this is real life, that they would know us. They'd be connected to us like we're connected to each other. And he's talking to God the Father there. But what he's describing is the Trinity sort of community. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the way they connect, their relationship, that is ultimate life. So for us to have real full life, Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to connect us to the full life that he has. But I would recommend, like, a great primer to hear from the Holy Spirit is read some Bible and then spend some time listening, okay? You don't have to figure out your whole life or all your problems. Read something from the Bible each day, then go on a walk and say, Jesus, here's my life, and I just read this thing. This is what I understand about it. Please talk to me about how to do it today. Just take a step each day. But that listening stuff, Jesus is going to push you. There's lots of reasons people don't listen to Jesus. A big one that people don't admit to themselves is that Jesus pushes you in ways that you don't want to go. That's why you need pushing, right? Whatever you are able to learn on your own, Jesus lets you learn on your own. But through the Holy Spirit, he'll push you to do something that you're afraid of. He'll push you to do something that, like, untwists your heart from that stuff you've gotten latched onto. Jesus literally wants all of us, like everything inside of us. He wants us to love him with all we have, and then through that love, connect with others. So, I mean, it can be rough. The Holy Spirit will push you on things that change you. He will push you to go do things that you're scared of because it'll make you courageous. He'll push you to go do things you don't want to do because you're resentful, because it will make you forgiving. It'll make you loving. So he'll push you in all sorts of ways you don't want to be pushed. But just go on that walk and just do what he says. And guess what? Like, you start listening and doing what he's saying, now you've got the power. That's where the power comes into your life. The power comes when you're listening to Jesus and obeying him. You know, people try to quit smoking all the time because it's just, like, on their to-do list. And so they try to say, like, oh, I think God wants me to quit smoking. If you go for a walk and you're reading in the Bible, and then as you're on the walk, you're like, hey, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And he tells you quit smoking. You get to face that smoking, not as just this is my good idea. You get to face it as, like, God told me, and God's going to give me everything I need to quit. Right? You'll have the power that you need to do it when God tells you to do it. Approach everything in your life that way, of like, here's my life, I want you to do it. Now, if you're like, Jake, I'm already going for walks, Jake, I'm already reading the Bible, and I feel stuck. I feel like I'm not getting deeper. You know, if you were I don't know anything about drilling for oil, but if you were drilling for oil and it started to get low, or it started to, like, not come up as much, maybe something's blocking the line, and so that would be like a sin in your life. But another thought you might have is maybe I need to go deeper. So if you've already been doing the same stuff over and over and over, and now you're not getting close to God, you feel like you're not connected, try to go deeper. Ask somebody else, what do you do? And then be humble enough to do what they do. Or look into the Bible as an example. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, it is this big statement praising God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, talking about who we are by giving praise to God. So what if you wrote a praise to God, or maybe even like a song to God? Probably something you haven't done before. You could try it this week if you're looking to go deeper. So I'm kind of getting off the rails, and it is noon. I'm glancing at the clock today. So here's the big thought for us today. I've kind of gone off. But my big thought is, you're like me in that boat. You might think you can jump and solve the thing going on with your family this week, or solve the financial crunch you're in, or solve that anger issue you have, like Samuel was just praying about. You might be able to think you can solve this or that thing in your life. You're just like me, okay? I thought I could jump, and I made literally a mess of things, and I hurt myself. Don't jump on your own steam. Use the deposit that Jesus himself has given you. Jesus paid so much to give us the Holy Spirit. So use the Holy Spirit. He's with you. Listen to the Holy Spirit and live with his power. Do what he tells you to do in power. I'm super excited for you guys this week. For me, I just love that God is so generous with us. So let me close this out in prayer and have a great rest of your Sunday. Jesus, I thank you that you've given us everything we need to become like you. Help us today to take hold of your Holy Spirit. He's always with us, but help us to take hold of him. It doesn't do us any good if we don't access him. So I pray you'd help us to do that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you.